Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Santa Perk in the house. Turn my mic up.
Coming up on NBA Today, get your Santa hats on. We slay down the NBA Christmas Day schedule. Which matchup are we most looking forward to? Don't miss it. Plus, what's the holdup on the KD front? Could he possibly sit out next season if he isn't traded from Brooklyn? We answer all those questions and we react to Giannis's interesting comments about potentially wearing another jersey before it's all said and done. NBA Today starts now.
Oh, he's too honest.
The Christmas gift that arrived about 6 months early. That's right. Schedule. Sixers, Knicks, Bucks, Celtics, Mavs, Lakers, Grizzlies, and the Warriors. Of course, we're looking forward to that one. And Suns, Nuggets. Wow, what a lineup. That's a pretty good-looking graphic as well. All right, with that, we're off and running on NBA Today. I'm LaChyna Robinson, filling in for Malika Andrews. And I'm lucky enough to be flanked today by Matt Barnes, Ramona Shelburne, and Big Perk, who joins us remotely from Houston. I'm surprised that Perk isn't dressed like Santa. I mean,
it's hot.
It's too hot. It's too hot.
It is too hot. But if it's too hot, then this is a turtleneck kind of look he's got going on. So it's
that's
too hot either
beard.
Way.
That's just his beard hanging out.
But he does have a couple of grays in there to match with Santa Claus. So that's a good thing. All right. Wow. Looking at this slate, Ramona, we'll start with you. What is your reaction?
I mean, I was waiting for LA. Like, where are the Clippers on this? Where are the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, there's a couple of teams that, yes, we all knew the Warriors were going to be on this. You assume the Celtics were going to be on this because they played in the finals last year. Normally, they play each other, but I'm okay with Celtics-Bucks, okay, because that's a rematch of the conference finals. But where are the Clippers? That's everybody's dark horse, not even dark horse. This is one of the co-favorites to win the Western Conference, not on Christmas Day. I guess it's load management or something. We've seen LA. They're playing earlier in the year, but, Sixers against the Knicks. Knicks aren't exactly the Knicks anymore, but there is that breakfast at Madison Square Garden that people like. A couple years ago when the Sixers were not scheduled on Christmas Day, Joel Embiid told me, he goes, that's when I knew that we needed to step it up. Because Christmas Day is seen as a time when they want to spotlight the biggest stars. And he goes, I guess I'm not a star. Because they got bounced in the bubble pretty early, and I guess I'm not a star. Now, he's finished second in MVP voting 2 years in a row since that slight. And I think when you look at the other games here, Luka Doncic is obviously being featured by the league. The Lakers always play on Christmas. The only question is whether they're home or away. James Harden, Kevin Durant normally are. Kevin Durant is not this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's more interesting not who is playing, but who's not playing.
Well, Kevin Durant isn't featured because we don't know what's happening with Kevin Durant, but we'll get to that later in the show. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Obviously, there are some teams that are missing here, but what's interesting to me, I like this Celtics-Bucks. To me, two of the most complete lineups in the Eastern Conference. They've played each other three out of the last 5 years in the playoffs. I feel like the road to the Eastern Conference is going to run through one of these cities, so I think it's going to be a great matchup. Obviously, the missing Middleton last year kept, what Milwaukee felt it kept them from going to see Miami in the Eastern Finals and potentially going to the Finals. So with a healthy team on both sides, I like the Celtics additions. This is going to be a great game.
Well, and you guys know, because you've obviously played, this is a big deal, right, to be scheduled on Christmas Day. Perk, we'll start with you there. What is it like playing on Christmas Day, and what memories do you have?
Well, I mean, when you think about a Christmas Day game, right, it's like to me, it's right under the NBA Finals. Like, you're on the biggest stage. You know, we're talking about the biggest holiday of the year. You know, like, at the end of the day, you want to be on Christmas. Like, you want to be playing Christmas Day. It's actually an honor. And when I think about my Christmas Day experience, and I don't mean to boast or brag right now, but I'm going to pat myself on the back, I had a lot of them. I played on a lot of Christmas Day games. But my one that I remember the most – It was when I was with the Celtics, and I remember we played the Orlando Magic, a prime Dwight Howard, when he was up there in the conversation as, you know, MVP, one of the best players in the game. And I guarded him one-on-one on the low block, and he finished the game with 2 points. And I believe he was averaging around 23, 22 at the time, and I held them down to 2 points, put them clamps on them. So, you know, playing on Christmas Day, that's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, stages in the NBA.
Completely agree. I got a chance to play a lot on Christmas, too. It was always a blast. It gets a little tougher as you get older with family and kids because it messes up the whole routine. I remember one time we left the gumbo on because we were having seafood gumbo for dinner. We forgot to turn it off. By the time we got home, it exploded all over the kitchen. But as far as games, I mean, like you said, like Perk said, it's the marquee matchup. You know, there's 4 or 5 games. The whole world is going to be watching. So it's always a great, tremendous honor to play on Christmas.
And it's like you go out and you earn that extra stuffing. You earn that cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
You earn, you know, those sweet potatoes and that macaroni and cheese. Now, Perk, you touched on the 2009 matchup. Who had the better game, you or Matt?
I had a nice Christmas Day game.
You know what? No, you really did, man. But I got to give it to myself again. The defensive stop. You heard it from Kobe himself.
That game?
Look, do you see that?
Oh, Matt tried to act like he forgot about that game.
I was talking about a different game.
Do you? Hey, Matt, you see that plus minus that
right there,
plus 19? It probably was the highest on the box score that day. See, me and Matt were stars in our role. You know, Matt had the assignment of guarding Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, and I'm pretty sure he did a great job. But the reason that we won that game on Christmas Day, it wasn't because of the superstars. It was because of Big Perk, me.
I don't like how you guys said. I thought you guys should have did the Clippers versus Nuggets. I had 27 in that game in Staples. We won. We had the nice red uniforms on. I didn't know you guys were going to this Christmas Day game.
Well, I got a complaint. I have a complaint about the schedule. When is the NBA going to stop disrespecting Trae Young? Now, yes, we want to see the best teams. But also on Christmas Day, we want to see the best performers, some of the top young talent in the NBA. And when Trae Young step into on the floor and he step into arena, Trae Young is box office. We're talking about a guy, a player, last year that led the league in total points and assists. We're talking about a baby Steph Curry in the making, has unlimited range, put guys in the blender. It plays below the rim but finished well around the basket. And we keep disrespecting Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks, and I can't understand that for the life of me.
So last year, Perk, they did schedule Ice Trae in Madison Square Garden on that Christmas Day game, but he was out in health and safety protocols at that time. And then the Hawks obviously didn't have the same kind of year that they did last year. So I think it's interesting to me because you're right. Like, you want to have the biggest stars on Christmas Day. And Trae in the Garden on Christmas is box office. But they didn't perform last year. And they were, like, when you have team success, then
shot.
You can be there.
Yeah. Well, I'm from the ATL, so I'm saying put Trae in. But let's pivot now to one of your former teammates, Big Perk, Kevin Durant, someone whose Brooklyn Nets currently do not have a Christmas Day game at this juncture. Ramona just talked about that. It's been 5+ weeks since the trade demand was heard around the world. What's next in this saga?
So the biggest question that all of us have is Kevin Durant willing to take this to the next level? Okay, the next level would be not showing up to training camp. And Matt, I was there when Kobe Bryant did this back in 2007. And I remember standing in the parking lot at the Lakers training facility and none of his teammates knew if he was going to show up. And all of us were wondering if he was going to show up. He showed up and he played. And I think that's the expectation with Kevin Durant, too, because say whatever you want about Kevin Durant, that man loves playing basketball and it's hard to see him sitting out. But everybody I talked to and what the conversations we've all been having the last week or two is, do you think Kevin will really sit out or really not show up to training camp, pull a Ben Simmons, if you will, to force the issue here and get the Nets to lower their asking price and just trade him? I don't see it. I think he loves basketball too much, but that's what's next here. And I think if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you're playing this game of, you know, last week I said on this show, they saw that last meeting as all part of the process, right? In other words, Kevin needed to be heard. They needed to hear him. They need to listen to what he was saying and try to take some action to make him feel better about it. And I think the resounding takeaway from that is there a way that they can make it so that he feels like this wasn't all for naught, that whatever his complaints were, whatever he is feeling needs to change with that franchise is going to at least try to change or change? And let's see, they have until September 26th, until media day, to figure that out.
I mean, I think he showed us nothing but, you know, when he's there, he's going to play. So I highly doubt he's going to miss time. This is just a tough situation for both sides. I mean, obviously, the Nets are invested, you know, at the end of this contract, they'll be invested over $350 million into Kevin Durant with only one playoff victory. It's really been up and down since this team has really kind of been put together. And I think they kind of want to see what they have going on. So I don't see him moving, and I also see him there playing. Now, will it be disgruntled? May there be some issues? Could be. The one thing that is interesting to me, though, is you never really hear Kevin talk about management or coaching. You know, you'll hear him talk on Twitter, you'll hear him talk about himself or, you know, defend himself or talk, but you never hear him talk about management and coaching. So to me, this is interesting. I think if they had a little bit more leverage from a standpoint of maybe they've won or they've gone to the conference finals or even won a championship, you may have that kind of leverage where you can say, hey, I don't like this coach or I don't like this management. But I think the fact that they haven't really got a chance to win yet and really played more than 30 games together to try to pick off the head coach and the GM, I think that was a big bite, and it probably would have left a sour taste around the league from a management standpoint. So I think that's why, you know, Joe took a hard stance behind management and coaching. But at the end of the day, all these guys are going to have to try to put this aside and play, because I don't think any of those guys on that team are going anywhere.
So, Perk, is there a middle ground? I mean, to Matt's point, you know, he's asking GM and head coach. Are there some things that can be changed where Kevin still feels like it's a win for him?
No, I think he has to get traded. Here's the thing that's confusing to me, right? We're talking about Kevin Durant. We're talking about AKA KD, Easy Money Sniper. He calls himself the God. And now I'm starting to question a little bit the power of Kevin Durant. And I always talk about this. Do you want to be popular or you want to be powerful? Ooh. KD asked for a trade about 5 weeks ago and said he wanted out. Okay, he didn't move the needle. All of a sudden, Kevin Durant comes back, and now he asks for it. He gives Josiah an ultimatum and say, you know what? It's either me or Sean Marks and Steve Nash. He still don't move the needle. Now, all of a sudden, there's speculations that he might consider retiring. So all of a sudden, he has to move the needle to that aspect. So I'm trying to see right now, does KD really have the juice that he think he has? Because if he did, he wouldn't have to go through all these necessary steps to get what he want. We're talking about arguably the greatest scorer to ever play the game of basketball. Right now, we're talking about arguably the best player in the NBA. We're talking about a guy right now, in my opinion, who is a top 20 player, who's a top great of all time. And he has to go through all this just to get what he wants in a franchise. Is kind of concerning, and I'm confused about the whole situation.
So who should budge, though, Perk? Like, who's the side that budge? Is it the Nets that budge and take less than what they think he's worth? Or, like, how does this resolve?
I mean, if you're the Nets, to me, I feel like, look, you got to get rid of Kevin Durant at this point, because you look at the front office. I mean, Kevin Durant really haven't been in communication with the front office of the Brooklyn Nets. I understand Rich Kleiman, he's been the guy that's been the middle person and being the spokesman, but how can you resolve this? If you're going to keep Steve Nash and Sean Marks, there's no way you could bring back Kevin Durant after he just called for their job. So in my opinion, the Brooklyn Nets is going to have to take less, which is not going to be bad at all. They're still going to get back some pieces and draft picks, and you got to move on from KD.
We could continue to have this conversation all day long, and to Ramona's point, you know, we need to figure out something before media day comes. But still to come on NBA Today, more on the NBA Christmas Day slate, why the Grizzlies and Warriors is the best rivalry in the game today, plus the Hall of Famer Rebecca Lobo joins us to talk about the farewell tour for both legends Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles. And also, what did Giannis say about potentially playing for the Chicago Bulls? We have that and so much more. Stick around. NBA Today is just getting started.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on.
Welcome back to NBA Today. I'm LaChyna Robinson, and now it's time to talk icons. That's right. Yesterday, Sue Bird played in her final regular season game, and after so many career accomplishments, including four titles in three different decades, she now looks to continue her off-the-court ventures to continue to inspire young girls across the country and the world. Her fiancé, USA soccer legend Megan Rapinoe, details the life, career, and future of Sue Bird. Check it out.
She's the kid from Long Island who aced every sport she tried. But basketball became her true love.
To be able to do something and get paid for it that you love to do, you know, that's got to be everyone's dream, you know? So I think it'd be great if I played in the WNBA.
She'll always be a New Yorker and a UConn legend. But Sue Bird's pro career has been rooted for two decades on the opposite coast, as the greatest professional athlete in Seattle history.
The Seattle Storm select Sue Bird from the University of Connecticut.
Not only is she the best point guard in the WNBA, she's the best point guard in the world.
She punches right down.
Nobody better ever.
Welcome to the future. Sue thrives on a team-first mentality that has made her one of the all-time best point guards. She is the WNBA career leader in assists, but it's about more than just her expert court vision. She knows people, as well as she knows the game of basketball.
Play tough, okay? Go, go, Ellie, Ellie!
And to watch her manage a team is to observe a masterclass in leadership. Four WNBA titles with the Storm and five Olympic gold medals as one of USA Basketball's legends.
Sitting here now with a gold medal around our necks is really special. I'm just really, really happy.
Off the court, she is, among many things, an entrepreneur, a basketball analyst, a soccer team owner, and an advocate for causes she's committed to, including racial justice and LGBTQ plus rights.
I've always kind of said I never really felt comfortable having like this moment of like me kind of stepping out and being like, hey, look at me, I'm gay over here.
It's about normalizing in our world, and the WNBA has been at the front of that.
I've had the joy of watching Sue evolve as a person while she reached her professional peak. I've seen her impact on basketball fans all over the world and how kindly she treats people. Yes, I might be a little bit biased, but there's no better example of a role model than Sue. She steps away from her playing career after appearing in more WNBA games than anyone. Yet it doesn't exactly feel like a goodbye. Everyone will miss seeing her on-court presence, the perfect passes, the dagger shots, the signature ponytail. But this is only the beginning of everything that Sue will do and be in the next phase of her life. And I can't wait to see what's next.
There are definitely moments where I get a little emotional or sad because I know it's the end of something, but I'm also really excited to start my next life.
Well, I selfishly hope that Sue Bird is sitting next to me doing some television in the next phase of her life. But here are some numbers on Sue Bird. First in games played, first in assists all time, third in steals, seventh in points. But this does not even begin to cover all that Sue Bird is and has been to the game of basketball, synonymous with the WNBA. Megan Rapinoe, as always, having the words to say, that was fantastic. And speaking of fantastic, joining me right now is the Hall of Famer Rebecca Lobo, who was on the call yesterday, ironically, for Sylvia Fowles' final game. And I was on the call for Sue Bird's final regular season game. But, Rebecca, there's been lots of tears shed saying goodbye to two future Hall of Famers in Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles. As we look to put a bow on this week of celebration, what stands out to you most about their careers?
I think how each of them defined what it means to play their position. You know, for Sue Bird, for over 20 years in the WNBA, has taught us what it means to be a great point guard, to make your teammates feel comfortable when you're out on the court, to play in a way that everyone around you is better. And then at the same time, when your team needs it, you hit daggers to help your team win championships. And I think a similar thing can be said about Sylvia Fowles and the back-to-the-basket center position. She taught us what it means to be a dominant low post player, to get inside and score, to post up, to rebound, to block shots. So in very different ways, defining what it means to do those things. You know, Sue Bird setting up her teammates and Sylvia Fowles dominating herself inside, and both doing it in different ways, but helping their teams win championships. Sue Bird helping Seattle to four championships in three different decades. Sylvia Fowles helping her team win in 2015 and 2017 and being the MVP in those finals. So both players, in a way, defining what it means to be the best at their position.
And Rebecca, I believe you were out of the league by the time Sylvia came in. Maybe not. But if you weren't there when Sylvia came in, okay. Who was that power player that you played against, like that dominant, just strong center on the interior?
Well, you had some of those in my day. You had the hybrids like Lisa Leslie, who were stepping out and hitting threes, or Tina Thompson stepping out and hitting threes. But you also had in L.A. Zhang Haisha, who was a 6'8 back-to-the-basket power center for Los Angeles in the early days. You know, we had Kim Hampton in New York, who was one of those back-to-the-basket centers. But no one who was quite as dominant as Sylvia Fowles, and certainly no one who did it for 15 years like that.
Yeah, Sylvia Fowles, one of a kind. All right, well, still in the Lynx didn't make the playoffs, but the Storm did at the 4 seed, and they will take on the 5 seed, Washington Mystics, in Seattle in the best of 3 series starting Thursday. We knew the 4-5 seed matchup would be the most intriguing for obvious reasons, but what's top of mind when those two teams are on the slate to play each other for you, Rebecca?
Well, first of all, for Seattle, they're the only top 4 seed who is playing an opponent with a winning record. Washington had the exact same record as Seattle this season. And these two teams met just about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And in a back-to-back series, Seattle won the first game, Washington won the second. Both games were decided by 5 or fewer points. So this is a really close matchup. This is going to be really exciting. And of course, you have Sue Bird, you have Breanna Stewart for Seattle, who have been playing well. Jewel Lloyd coming off a monster game in their last game of the season against Vegas. And then for Washington, Elena Deladon is going to be vitally important to their success if they want to beat Seattle. And Elena, shockingly, over the course of the last 5 games, has really struggled from the three-point line, still finding a way to score, making twos and getting to the free throw line. But it'll be important for her to create that spacing for her team to start getting hot from the three-point line again.
Well, we're hearing a lot about the top teams, in particular those that are hosting, but when you look at the bottom half, are there any storylines with those teams 5 through 8 that you are looking forward to as the playoffs kick off?
Certainly. There are two teams that are really intriguing to me. One of them is Dallas and the other is New York. And the reason they're intriguing to me is usually at this time of the season, you know exactly what a team is and you know exactly what they do to have success. With those two teams, you don't know exactly, but they're still really exciting to watch. And I'll start with Dallas. They've been without Arike Ogunbowale down here for the stretch because of injury, but they've been a lot of fun to watch. Tierra McCowan for them has been playing great basketball. She has become a double-double machine as the 6'7 post player taking care of business inside. Marina Mabry has been outstanding over this stretch, scoring and helping her team. And then for the New York Liberty, this is another team we don't know exactly what they are quite yet because Bani Gelinas has only played 9 games this season. She played 4 in May and has played 5 since her return in August, and she changes them. And Sabrina Ionescu for New York is so important to their success. And it was a good sign for New York to be able to pull off the win yesterday against Atlanta to make it into the playoffs when Sabrina was only 1 or 12 from the floor. Her teammates were able to make sure they could get that done. And Laney's a big part of that. Steph Dolson was a big part of that yesterday. But those two teams are intriguing to me. They're fun to watch, but you're not exactly sure who they are because of the pieces that are missing and the pieces that are returning.
So much to look forward to. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to you, Ryan, and Holly taking us all the way through the finals.
I look forward to dinner with you, LaChina, when we finally get together in the finals.
I know. Can't wait. Thanks, Rebecca. Coming up on NBA Today, Big Perk gives a big pep talk to Ja Morant and the Grizzlies as they face the Warriors on Christmas Day. Plus, which team runs L.A., the Clippers or Lakers? And is this possibly the best Clippers team of all time? Former Clipper Matt Barnes on that. Also, we play a little big deal, little deal, or no deal, reacting to Giannis' comments regarding playing for the Bulls. NBA Today will be back after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The strength in numbers is alive and well. There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay.
Thompson fakes, fires, three-pointer. Bang! It's over. Golden State holds on.
You're going to mock us? Like, you ain't ever been there before, bruh. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Guys, I'd say it's fair to say there's a healthy rivalry between Golden State and Memphis. Wouldn't you? Here again with Matt and Big Perk. Check out the back and forth right now between Ja Morant and Draymond on Twitter talking about their Christmas Day matchup. Ja said, look, we got what we wanted, Dre. That's in regards to the Christmas Day matchup, to which Draymond responded, that's the power of your voice, young. Let's go. Bring the fam to the crib for dinner after. Love to see that. See, it's just the bros going back and forth. But Matt, starting with you, how can this rivalry grow even more this season?
Just to continue to put on a good show every time we see him. You know, obviously the regular season holds a certain amount of weight. Christmas Day is a little heavier than the rest of the regular season. But after that, playoffs. That's where rivalries are built, and that's where rivalries grow. You know, the Grizz were able to knock the Warriors off to get in that the play-in situation. Warriors come back next year. But Memphis fully felt last year that with a healthy Ja Morant, they should have been able to beat this team. So we're going to have to see this year. This is kind of the new NBA versus, if you want to call it the old, they're not old, but they're older players. They've been around for a while. They had their dynasty run. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. They definitely have Golden State's attention. But now you have Golden State's attention. What are you going to do with it, Park?
I agree. And you know what? It comes down to Memphis keeping their identity and keeping their culture, right? And keeping that edge, that tenacity, that noise talking. That's what the game needs, right? They're not backing down from nobody. They're running up the chimney looking for the smoke. But I say that to say this. My message to the Memphis Grizzlies, right? Last year, they were doing the hunting. This year, they're going to be the hunted. And I know they didn't win the NBA championship, but they put the world on notice. So now teams are going to be getting their rest the night before. Now teams are going to step in knowing that they have to strap their boots up. So I say this to Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Look, you're going into preseason next year, okay? You're not having – starting the season, you're not going to have Jaren Jackson Jr., one of the key pieces. So I'm looking at Ja Morant, and I'm looking at him to take a step into his leadership. I'm looking at him to say, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice. Because although I'm a young superstar on the rise in this league, I am a leader, and guys look up and they follow my lead on this team. So get everything that you need to do out the way right now. Enjoy the max extension this summer. Party with your family. Do what you do. Live your best life because you deserve that. When the season comes around, put all that aside because your ultimate goal, team goal, is to what? Win the NBA championship, individually win the MVP, and you're only going to do that by sacrificing not just on the court but off the court. That's my message to the Memphis Grizzlies going into next season.
And I love the overall theme. It sounds like from both of y'all, now that you got the smoke, what are you going to do with it, right?
With it.
All right. From those two Western Conference teams to two that are squaring off on opening night, our Lakers reporter Dave McMiniman, quote, the L.A. Clippers will tip off their regular season against the Los Angeles Lakers on October 20th. A source told ESPN in what will be a designated, quote, road game for the Clippers. They currently have a 7-game winning streak versus their crypto.com cohabitants. Perk, better off season so far between those two teams and why?
Oh, it's the Clippers. I think the Clippers had the best offseason over any team in the NBA. When you talk about the wing position, the most important position, I already dove into that. But I'm looking at the Clippers, and I'm looking at them. I have them as my favorite to win it all. Mm. I mean, when you think about the coaching along and Tyronn Lue, LeBron James, since Tyronn Lue has been the head coach of the Clippers, LeBron James haven't beat him one time. And so that says a lot. Also, you have a healthy Kawhi Leonard coming back. We saw how Paul George finished the season. The Clippers right now, they are really, really dangerous. They are really deep, and I think they have the best team in the NBA when they start this season.
I couldn't agree with you more, Perk. Deep team, developed an identity without their stars last night. And that's what I like, or excuse me, last season, and that's what I like about this team. They played the entire season. They were in a race without their two main guys. Paul George came back at the end of the season and gave them a little boost. But people like Reggie Jackson and all their role players got valuable experience last year, knowing that we're going to be fully reloaded this season. Plus, a hungry John Wall. We could say what you want about John Wall, but last time he was on a basketball court playing for Houston, he averaged about 20 points and 8 assists. So this is going to be a guy that's eager to prove himself that he still belongs in this league. Him and Reggie Jackson in that backcourt, along with the two of the best two-way defensive players in the game. I definitely think the Clippers had a better offseason. Although the Lakers got a new coach and retooled with some younger players, to me it's a no-brainer that the Clippers had a better offseason.
All right. Well, lots to be decided, lots to come. But I just want to finish by asking this about the Lakers. How can they, is there anything that will happen between now and when the season starts that you think will put them in better position than they're in now, or is it just the leadership change?
I just think they have to understand how to play with each other. And I think, obviously, a healthy Anthony Davis is going to change all the talk around that organization. If Anthony Davis can play in 60 to 65 games this season, this team's going to be in a position to make the playoffs. He should be an MVP conversation. But until they can get him on the court consistently, all this other stuff doesn't go. You know, obviously, the next thing is how does Russ fit in? Wow. But I think great players always figure out how to work with great players if all the great players are able to play on the court at the same time.
Perk?
I agree. And you know, most importantly, if you go back and look at the Lakers last year, they took preseason and training camp for granted. They struggled and they set guys. When you watch the Golden State Warriors, they hit the ground running. They didn't take the preseason for granted because the preseason is important. The preseason is important for your chemistry. And I think this year the Lakers need to have a different approach. I think they will have a different approach. I think Darvin Ham has the attention of their locker room, and Darvin Ham says something that Matt pointed out, in my opinion, that's going to be great. That offense is going to be ran through Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis needs to be the bride in the wedding, even though it's not his wedding. Anthony Davis needs to be the corpse in the casket, even if it's not his funeral. That's how much you need to be ran through Anthony Davis.
Well, I've been on this show, I think, 3 times now, and everyone I've sat next to has said Clippers, Clippers, Clippers. So it seems to be the thought that they are going to have a great season. All right, coming up, some news on Giannis Antetokounmpo, and also we will eventually get to a WNBA star, Jonquel Jones, who will talk to us a little bit about what she has coming up in the playoffs as NBA Today rolls on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We set it off, now it's going up.
You ready?
We have to be strong and persistent when we're going at them.
That's your job. Be there.
Come on!
Never enough. Call who you want, they ain't messing with us.
You gotta own it.
Hey, that's what I want to see, baby. Ah!
Come on now.
Step in the spot and they know it's a spot around me and they make it for glorious.
I'll see you in the playoffs.
I'm now joined by the reigning MVP and Connecticut Sun All-Star, Jonquel Jones. Jonquel, congratulations on making the playoffs and landing the very important hosting spot in the first round as the 3 seed. Now, in last year's playoff, your team fell short of making the WNBA Finals, but what about this year's squad do you think will get you over the hump?
Well, we definitely have new pieces in Alyssa Thomas and Courtney Williams. So I think those two pieces are huge for us. They will definitely add a little bit of change in there and give us, you know, I guess more dynamic scoring, really to be able to push the ball up the court faster. I think the format also helps us as well. Instead of sitting at home watching, you kind of get a feel for the playoffs as you played games earlier. I think that'll help us as well. But when you look back at our matchup against Chicago last season, there's, you know, very minuscule, very small things that, you know, shift the game. And, you know, we could have easily been up 2-0 versus being down. So, you know, just focusing on the small things and understanding the little things really matter in the playoffs.
Now, you mentioned the format. Are you good with the WNBA doing away with those single elimination games?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because, you know, in my WNBA career, we've lost in those single elimination games, so we've been there before. And then we've also been the team that's sitting at home waiting and watching. So I've, you know, been able to kind of feel it out and been on both ends of the spectrum. But I like being able to just get in there and starting the playoffs when everybody else does.
Now, your first round matchup is against Dallas, a team that your squad kind of struggled with in the regular season. They won the series. How can the Sun rectify those woes, you know, for the postseason to get over the hump in the series?
Yeah, just understanding, you know, the type of team that they are. They have a lot of people that can really catch fire with Mabry and on big post presence down low. So we just have to be ready to play. But ultimately, we understand that, you know, when we go back and we watch those games, that we can be better. And so that's our first goal, is making sure that we put our best foot forward when we play against them. And then, like I said before, in the playoffs, you have to step your game up.
It's going to be a little different without Arike Ogunbowale, sending our well wishes to her. But 6'7", Tierra McCowan, the way she's been playing, that'll be your responsibility, Jonquil, in this first round. Now, I know it's award season, and it's always a difficult time for folks like me in the media to make decisions. You're the reigning MVP. Now, take yourself out of the hat just for this season. What are your thoughts on the MVP race in the WNBA right now?
Oh, man. Well, first off, I think Alyssa isn't really getting the recognition. I think she's doing so much. You know, watching her play night in and night out, she is relentless. She doesn't stop. So I think she definitely deserves to be in that conversation. Kelsey Plum has been having an amazing season, deserves to be in that conversation. Asia Wilson, amazing season, deserves to be in that conversation. Stewie, of course, leading the league in scoring. So I'm glad I don't have you guys' job. You know, I'm happy that I can kind of just lock in and focus on winning the championship. But yeah, you guys have a real tough job right now, because a lot of people are playing really good basketball. Candace Parker, too, can't forget about her with Chicago and how they've been playing. So yeah, just a lot of amazing ladies. So hats off to them.
Well, it wasn't as intense of a race, so you made it easy for us last season. It was like hands down Jonquil, so I know you'll be handing over that title very soon. Off the court, though, Brittany Griner's lawyers have filed an appeal against her 9-year prison sentence. Russian news agencies reported today. Obviously, this story has taken many twists and turns this season, and you've taken to social media to show your support for Griner. If you had the chance to speak with her right now, Jonquil, what would you want to say to her?
Oh, man, that's my sister, first and foremost. You know, we're always constantly praying for her and, you know, just bringing her before God more than anything, asking the Lord to just go over there and just make sure she feels our energy. So if I had the opportunity to speak to her, I would just let her know that we love her, that we haven't stopped fighting for her, that we haven't forgotten about her, you know, and that it's going to be okay. And, you know, just to take it one day at a time, not get down on herself, and understand that and she's going to be home soon. So just honestly, just a lot of love, a lot of well wishes. I just want to make sure she's being strong mentally, being strong spiritually, and just fighting until she gets home, because we're all just waiting for that day when she, you know, gets back into the U.S. and we can give her hugs and, you know, just shower her with that love. And so being over here is hard to not be able to see somebody that you spend so much time with that you consider to be basically a family member. So B, we love you. We're here for you. Just keep fighting, keep being strong. And we want to see you home soon. We love you, girl.
Thank you so much, Jonquil. And I know this is particularly tough for you because you played with Brittany Griner for Ekaterinburg. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And I just admire the way that you women have played to honor Brittany this season. And I know that that will continue through the playoffs. Thank you for joining us, Jonquil. You can catch Jonquil on Thursday as the WNBA playoffs kick off. The first round in a doubleheader as she leads the Sun against the 6-seeded Dallas Wings at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on ESPNU. Then the 5th-seed Washington Mystics square off against the 4th-seed Seattle Storm on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Today, 4-time WNBA All-Star center Liz Cambage announced that she has decided to step away from the WNBA. Quote, for the time being, publicly addressing for the first time her mid-season contract divorce from the Sparks. Cambage said in an Instagram post, quote, while I'll miss rocking the purple and gold, I'll be taking this time to focus on my healing and personal growth, before providing clarification on past rumors. Thank you to all my supporters, family, and friends for all the love and light you continue to surround me with. Coming up next, so you're saying there's a chance. We have Giannis's comments on the possibility of wearing another jersey. Keep it locked. NBA Today. We'll be right back.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this.
Adidas.
When I get on the court, I'm going to go 100%. This is who I am.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo was speaking at a promotional event yesterday when he was asked about one day potentially playing for the Bulls. The Bucks superstar answered with the following. Take a listen.
I think anybody who asks that question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar. You know, it's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to ever play this game played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Down the line, you never know. You know, you never know how life brings it. Maybe I'll play for Chicago. But right now, I'm committed to Milwaukee.
Perk, you first. Is this a big deal, little, or no deal?
You know what? It's a big deal, but it's not a big deal because I don't want it to make it like Giannis is going to the Bulls. I want to acknowledge Giannis and how intelligent he is. Although I don't like some of those corny dad jokes he do outside of that, Giannis is very, very, very intelligent on how he go about things. He moves the needle off the court. And what he's doing is he's saying, hey, I'ma hold the Milwaukee Bucks feet to the fire every single year to make sure that they put the pieces around me to be able to compete for a championship. I honestly believe that Giannis is gonna retire in the Bucks uniform. But what he's doing is he's playing chess, not checkers, and I applaud him for that.
I think this is a little deal. Obviously, to what you said, Park, it's holding the organization accountable. But we're also in a new NBA now, you know, so when things like this are said, people like us are going to run it and run crazy with it. But I don't necessarily see him leaving. But at the same time, like you said, this management, and I think this management already knows, they got to be all in his entire career. But he's been committed to this team. He said he wanted to finish his career earlier in his career. He said he wanted to bring a championship. He's done that. So, again, like you, Perk, I don't see him leaving. But the Milwaukee can't get too comfortable just in case they think they can start slacking because he's there now. You know, you got to continue to build around this guy his entire career, just like they're doing in Golden State with Steph. They're all in Steph's entire career. They got to do the same thing with Giannis.
It is kind of cool that the young guys still think there's a mystique with the Bulls, though. Now, Giannis still has 4 years and almost $190 million left on his current deal, including a player option for $52 million in the final year. He could hit free agency in 2025 by opting out when he'll be 30 years old. Let's take a look at LeBron's oldest son in a moment, but we'll be back first in 60 seconds. Let's take a look at LeBron's oldest son, Bronny James, in action today on the European Tour over on ESPN2. Check out this little quick move, elevation for the dunk. Even LeBron was amazed, tweeting, "Oh my goodness, Bronny. Wow." Guys, what do you think?
I think this is beautiful. I mean, a kid that has so much pressure. His dad said, "I'm waiting for you to get to the league so I can come play with you." His ability to just block all that out and go out and play basketball is beautiful.
I still think the middle child, is it Bryce?
Bryce.
Oh, I still think he might be the one. Well, speaking of, is Perk still with us? Oh, Perk might be gone. All right. So, anything?
Perk's day ended already.
Oh, yeah. I'm right here. You know what? I have to applaud Bronny, man. First of all, you want to see a dead body, that's on one right there. Okay, but coming down in transition and playing with the pressure that he has to play with day in and day out, being the son of LeBron James and succeeding expectations and having no one criticize him because he's putting in the work is a beautiful thing to see.
Yep. Embracing greatness. All right, speaking of monumental achievements for a parent to witness, take a look at Poppy Guy. First day of first grade. Big deal for coordinating producer Hillary Guy. Doesn't she look adorable? Way to go, Poppy.
We know who's running the house.
Summer's over. Summer's over, Perk.
Kids back to school.